Now, the Sunday Spin continues on 720 WGN. Here's Rick Pearson.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio. Yes, we know it's the Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day as well, but for those interested in the media and sports, of course, yesterday a big day in college football with the big conference championship games that will ultimately determine who are going to be the four teams in college football's first ever playoff system. But on this date in history, 1963, instant replay made its debut in sports coverage in the CBS coverage of the Army-Navy game. Paul Meineke from ABC7 posted this on his Facebook page. The instant replay machine weighed 1,300 pounds, and due to technical glitches, it was only used once during the game. And it was a replay of a Army quarterback's run for a touchdown. There wasn't any slow motion. There was no freeze frame, no zoom in. It is what you got, and it probably is now sitting there with my Betamax machine and other collections of my Laserdisc player and some of the early adopted technologies that I bet wrong on. But, yeah, so 51 years ago, instant replay made its debut on television sports broadcasting. We've come a long way, haven't we? I'm not sure that all the sports have come a long way, but let's go Blackhawks. Let's go Blackhawks. Well, joining me now on the phone is State Senator Christine Redonio of Lamont. She is the Republican leader of the Illinois State Senate. She is the first female caucus leader in the history of the General Assembly. And she has served in the Illinois Senate since 1997, representing a district that includes parts of DuPage, Will, and Cook counties. Leader Redonio, thank you very much for joining me this morning on the Sunday Spin.
No problem. Happy to be here.
So you come out of this veto session. Yeah, there were some bills that did pass, a big election bill change, whatever. But we were just talking to Sam Toy of the Restaurant Association about the issue of the minimum wage. And it's my view that this is probably still going to be coming back as an issue in Springfield when Governor-elect Rauner is sworn in and the new General Assembly is inaugurated 2 days later on the 14th. Where does the Senate Republican Caucus fit in on this?
Well, I think that you're right. It absolutely is an issue that's going to come back. Obviously, the referendum passed pretty overwhelmingly.
But that wasn't any surprise, was it?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, there's clearly a lot of interest in raising the minimum wage. I think for the most part, our caucus will be where the governor-elect has articulated his position to be, and that is we should take a look at raising the minimum wage, but it needs to be in conjunction with other measures that may help our job creators. The last thing we want to do is set ourselves up for another scenario in which we are essentially encouraging job creators to leave the state.
So given that, do you think Chicago acted improperly by acting on its own to raise the minimum wage?
In my view, that was a pretty blatantly political move for the mayor's reelection. I think that most people, even those that are interested in seeing the minimum wage rise, thought that was pretty precipitous and were somewhat surprised by the move.
So, I mean, and so it's your belief that this is one of those things that could lead to job reductions, businesses leaving the city, that kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely, leaving the city, particularly, and I did listen to Sam prior to this, those areas such as Edison Park on the northwest side of the city that are immediately adjacent to thriving suburbs like Park Ridge, they have an incredible exposure of people just jumping the city boundary into the suburbs. And, in fact, I believe the aldermen from that area voted against it. And I would say the same for areas around Midway Airport. You know, it's just too easy to hop over the city boundary into a suburb that doesn't have that same minimum wage requirement.
So when you look at this issue, and as you said, with the Senate Republican caucus looking for some of those same business changes that the governor has talked about as the context for doing a minimum wage increase, realistically, though, how likely are we likely to see such changes with a Democratic majority General Assembly?
Well, you know, I think that there is certainly at this point a lot of hope that there will be bipartisan cooperation. I think that what you see now with Rauner coming in is the results of the failed policies that have been produced by one-party control. I think workers' comp is a good illustration of that. It's one of the items that the governor-elect has spoken about that needs to be addressed in conjunction with things like minimum wage. We did do some changes to the work comp law, but it only really affected, in terms of cost savings areas, the medical fee schedule. We never got to the core of the issue, which is causation. And I think at this point, even the Democrats have to look at the fact that even though rates have stabilized or maybe gone down relative to what they were doing in Illinois before, we are still not competitive in Illinois with respect to workers' comp. It's a huge disincentive to operate in Illinois.
One issue that has been discussed a lot since the regular session ended in May, leading through the veto session, and became very much a topic in a lot of in political context, political races, was Senator Andy Menard's legislation to change the school funding formula, Senate Bill 16. We've got a call from Mark asking about that question. Mark, welcome to the Sunday Spin.
Yes, good morning. Senator, I wanted to ask you about Senate Bill 16, where tax money for schools in the suburbs would be redistributed to Chicago schools and downstate schools. What I'd like to know is how does something like that even get approached and get put into a Senate bill?
Well, yeah, I think what happened with that bill, the Senate Republicans actually are the caucus. We drew attention to the fact that the school aid formula has become extremely skewed from what it was supposed to be when it was enacted, the last change back in 1999, I believe. And that over time, a disproportionate amount of money had gone to the city of Chicago. So that generated the interest in the issue of looking at school funding. What happened from there, however, was that a downstate senator who was up for reelection single-handedly devised Senate Bill 16, which essentially wiped out, just devastated an entire swath of the state, and that being the Chicago suburbs and suburban Cook County. Well, while it is a legitimate problem that we have with our school funding, Senate Bill 16 was certainly not the answer to that. So I expect school funding, school issues in general, will be very, very high priority topics in the next administration, particularly because the new governor has a longstanding interest in the issue of education.
Thank you, Mark, for calling. Senator Redonio, please hold right there. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Rick Pearson here with your Sunday Spin from the Allstate Showcase studio. On the phone, State Senator Christine Redonio of Lamont, the Republican leader of the Illinois State Senate. Again, leader, thank you very much for joining me this morning. We talked a little bit about the fact of, obviously, January inauguration time, Bruce Rauner coming in, and he was in Springfield during the recent veto session and repeatedly cited that our financial condition here in Illinois is dire. He said that the the state budget was laden with booby traps ready to explode, seemed to have discovered the concept of lapse period spending, of taking bills from one year and pushing them into the next year, which is something governors have done in this state for decades. When he says that the budget situation is worse than anybody knew, I wanted to ask you about this because Senate Republicans were pretty vehement back in May talking about how this was not a balanced state budget. So what is he talking about?
Well, I mean, certainly on the macro level, everybody knew it was bad, and you are correct. The Senate and House Republicans as well talked all through the spring session about how these policies and the budget that the Democrats put in place all by themselves, not just this year, but the cumulative mismanagement over 13 years was leading to a real problem. So on the macro level, total agreement on that. I think what people sometimes don't understand is that a governor-elect does not really have access to the actual books until they're elected, until they're given access to that. So they don't know, you know, the rate at which departments have been spending. So, for example, if some of the large departments have spent 80% of their allocation halfway through the fiscal year, that's an even bigger problem than you might have anticipated back in the spring.
But wouldn't you have that information? Wouldn't the comptroller's office and wouldn't the treasurer's office all have that information?
No, not it is not as transparent as you would imagine within the departments, and that is what the governor-elect is just beginning to get access to. So we may ask questions. Frankly, sometimes when you have the administration of an opposite party in control, they don't share that information. They don't share it in a timely fashion. So, yeah, it is absolutely true what he's saying right now, that he's getting a first look at the real detail here, even though we all knew it was bad.
Well, and we all knew that there were going to be agencies that basically were going to be spending their entire yearly appropriation in the first 6 months. I mean, that was something
we
knew.
They didn't, but that we shouldn't be surprised at that.
So, what are we getting set up for something here? Are we getting set up for, you know, yeah, things are worse than what I thought they were? Which, frankly, that's every governor of every party coming in that's new has said that kind of same thing. But is this as some speculate a setup for preparing the public for having to find new revenues?
Well, I don't know that you can say that with certainty. I think one of the things that many people are excited about with the new administration is that he's expressed an interest in transformative changes in state government. That doesn't just mean cut, cut, cut. That means doing things better, more efficiently, so that you can save money and still deliver the critical services. Now, I don't know what he's got planned. I think, again, this is the first time the governor has really gotten in there to be able to review these agencies in detail to see what he can do. But what the folks in Illinois need to remember is that transformative change is going to take a little bit of time to implement it. It's not going to happen overnight. These are huge systems we need to change. But, you know, I think this governor is very interested in trying as hard as he possibly can to make those changes without increasing the burden on Illinois families and businesses.
Now, earlier in the program, I had Kurt Erickson, the bureau chief for Lee Enterprises newspapers, on, and he wanted me to make sure I asked you whether you had been practicing lifting weights because of now having a Republican governor, you're going to have to be bringing Republican votes at the insistence of Senate President Cullerton on a number of controversial issues that may be agenda items of Bruce Rauner, including potential finding new revenue sources. You've been lifting weights?
I have been lifting weights, and I'm ready for the challenge. So, and it will be a challenge. I mean, there is a sea change with a new governor, especially after 13 years of one-party rule. The dynamic is different. It would have been different no matter what new person is at the table. But this one will be very different, and I think our caucus certainly understands that we want to take care of the neediest folks in the state. We want to provide good education because that is what job seekers want. They want a well-educated workforce. So we will work closely with the governor to participate with with the Democrats in solving the problem that, frankly, the Democrats created. So, you know, now they'll get a hand in solving it, which is good for the people in the state.
That's State Senate Republican Leader Christine Redonio of Lamont. Leader Redonio, thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Sunday Spin.
Well, thank you for having me.
We'll be back with more right after this.